When profanity surpasses piety. The center of Jesus' Galilean ministry was an area now called the Evangelical Triangle. At the points of this triangle were the towns of Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum. These towns experienced a decline and eventually were abandoned or reduced to ruins, serving as a visible manifestation of this curse. Chorazin was located about 2.5 miles north of the Sea of Galilee, situated on the basalt hills above Capernaum. In 1926, two excavators worked and found the seat of Moses carved from a basalt block. This is where the reader of the Torah sat. Jesus mentioned this type of seat in Matthew 23:1. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so you must be careful to do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach." The location of Bethsaida has been uncertain for centuries due to various geographical changes in the area. Capernaum served as Jesus' home in Galilee. He and his disciples were most often hosted in Peter's house in Capernaum, simple but large, and next to the synagogue and fish market. The New Testament tells us that Jesus performed many of his miracles in the Evangelical Triangle. The Jews had the privilege of being the chosen people of God. They were the custodians of God's law and even had Christ in person in their nation. The response to some of Jesus' most spectacular miracles and powerful messages was not only complacency, but outright rejection and opposition. Jesus condemns them, saying, "The worst cities with the most profane practices on earth are better than them." Matthew 11:24, "But I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom in the day of judgment than for you." When Jesus sent out his disciples to minister house to house in twos, he also states similar condemnation to those who don't accept his message. Matthew 10:14 and 15. Jesus highlights that brazen profanity beats shallow piety hands down. While they may have followed sinful practices, they acknowledged their sins and many were ready to repent. We learn that miraculous signs need not actual faith. Good works among God's people in themselves are not adequate for righteousness. It is the faith and heart that God values. In what ways do we slip into piety instead of purity? How can we emulate true godliness and goodness in our lives?